Hi, this is Scott Unash. Thanks for listening to the Gym Class Podcast on KGYM.
Welcome in to the Gym Class on this Wednesday, Hump Day 304, coming to you live from the KGYM Studios on the southwest side of Cedar Rapids. Mark Dukes and Kyle Mann taking you through the next hour leading up to the Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn, that show from 4 to 7. Quick programming note, at the bottom of the hour, we will be leaving the FMs 107.5 and 106.3 FM to join Scott Unash's call of the Albernette Remsen St. Mary's game in the 1A state basketball semifinals. That pregame coming up right around 3:30. If you'd like to continue to listen to the show, you can do that on 1600 AM. We will alert you as to when we will be on only 1600 AM. Speaking of the boys' state basketball tournament, the Patrick McCaffrey era is over at Iowa City West. The All-Stater, potential Mr. Basketball, at least a solid candidate. He and his team, Iowa City West, lost 39-36 in an obviously low-scoring game in the 4A quarterfinals of the state tournament earlier today. Perhaps you heard Scott Unash's call there. Patrick had a couple shots at the end of the game to try to tie it up, but the ball just didn't go down. And an All-Mississippi Valley Conference matchup goes to senior, and the Rams will face Waukee in the 4A semifinals. Also coming up tonight in the 2A semifinals, it'll be North Lynn and Van Meter. Should be a whale of a game. That pregame around 8:15 p.m. tonight. We'll also have on 1600 a.m. pregame 5:30 or thereabouts for Iowa State and West Virginia men's basketball. Iowa State with a much-needed victory here against the bottom feeder in West Virginia. We'll talk more about the Big 12 Conference and what happened last night in college basketball in general. I want to start out with a recent announcement coming out of the University of Iowa, and that involves Reese Morgan, the terrific football coach and person at age 68, has announced his retirement almost immediately, at least before spring practice begins. I think to a person looking at social media this afternoon, Facebook, Twitter, former players, former coaches, Dan McCarney being one that I noticed on Facebook, showering praise on Morgan and his career. And a lot of times when coaches step aside, you'll see that. But this has got to be genuine. Reese Morgan was the consummate football coach and is one of the great people in coaching, in life. I met Reese for the first time in the late 70s, early 80s, when he was coaching at Benton Community High School. Successful run there, 13 seasons, three playoff appearances, and then Iowa City West nabbed him. And what a good move that was for both West and Reese Morgan, three state titles at Iowa City West. And then he was hired on to coach at the University of Iowa, has had held several positions, including most recently defensive line coach the last seven campaigns. He was the tight ends coach when Dallas Clark won the Mackey Award. It just has given Iowa and Kirk Ferentz tremendous continuity over the years and reliability. I mean, you look at his resume, Kyle, and it's better than many coaches, head coaches, assistant coaches, that you'll ever see. I mean, he coached three Outland Trophy winners. Chad Hennings, who is his terrific all-state football player and heavyweight wrestling champion at Benton Community. Chad was our Gazette Athlete of the Year when I was at the paper in the mid-'80s, early 80s. Also, Robert Gallery and Brandon Scherf won that award at 5 first-round NFL draft picks. I mean, you go up and down his resume, and it's amazing.
Yeah, I obviously haven't been, I haven't been around for a lot of Reese Morgan's come up, but I think back to, I forget what the occasion was or, you know, why it had come up, but there was a time during this past football season where Kirk Ferentz was asked about Reese Morgan, and Kirk actually got a little emotional, and I guess, you know, this is purely speculation, but I wonder if, you know, he got emotional because maybe he knew that, you know, this day was coming sooner rather than later, but he spent time talking about Reese Morgan and why he thought that Reese Morgan is the type of coach that he likes because Morgan, I believe this is true because Kirk Ferentz said it, he came up as a prep coach here in the state, right?
Indeed, Benton Community and Iowa City West.
Yeah, and Kirk spent a lot of time talking about how he liked Reese Morgan and respected him as a coach because he came up doing it the right way. He got into coaching for the right reasons because, you know, you start at the ground level like that. You're doing that just because you love coaching football. And I think, you know, those were Kirk's words for him, you know, several months ago. And, you know, I've got to take him at his word.
I'm going to talk with Mark Ironside previewing the Big Ten Wrestling Tournament here in about 10 to 15 minutes. And looking forward to that, a big weekend for the Iowa Wrestling Program. We'll, of course, have a Bowling Night in America preview. But Maura Morgan, he was Reese Morgan, that is. He was, by the way, he's going to hold a teleconference in about 20 minutes. Unsure whether we can get audio of that, but he will be responding to media there. I can tell you in the news release from Iowa that Kirk Ferentz said, a genuine and authentic person, Reese handled every challenge we threw his way in magnificent fashion. Every player and coach who had the opportunity to work with Reese Morgan is much better for it. It's like losing a great player. Reese's shoes will be hard to fill. And thinking about things driving over here, Kyle, for the show, Reese Morgan has been around so long, 40-plus years in the coaching ranks, in the high school ranks, and in the college ranks, and be hard-pressed to find, let me put it this way, it wouldn't be hard to find people who have either coached against Reese Morgan, played against his teams, were recruited by Reese Morgan, and I think to a person, they would have great things to say about Reese Morgan. 319-366-1600, our Hertzien and Stocker Jeweler text line, and our phone line today. So, again, excuse me, Reese Morgan going to step aside and retire after 19 years on the Iowa football staff. During that time, the Hawkeyes were 151-91 and made 11 bowl appearances. He was most instrumental in his coaching of the offensive and defensive line. As I mentioned, also tight ends with Dallas Clark was a Mackey Award winner. Recruiting coordinator Kelvin Bell, excuse me, will be the interim defensive line coach. Presents a whole other set of issues should Bell get that job full time. Then Iowa would be looking for a recruiting coordinator. Should he not, then Kirk Ferentz has a hire to make. That would be very, very important. Iowa's defensive line, you know, going to lose some quality people. Parker, I think about the job that Parker Hesse did. Not all on his own. Reese Morgan probably had a lot to do with that. Parker Hesse was not a five-star recruit, but he had a hell of a career, as have others. Matt Nelson leaving the program, Anthony Nelson going to the NFL draft. Those are only recent guys. And whoever gets that job, whether it's Bell or someone else, is going to have a defensive line led by A.J. Epinesa, who already is mentioned among the top NFL draft picks for next year. So interesting developments in the University of Iowa football program, and you referenced Kirk Ferentz's comments at some point. I think he mentioned that, somewhat in jest probably, but it may take three people to replace what Rhys Morgan has meant to the Iowa program. That's how highly Kirk Ferentz thinks of Rhys Morgan. And you think about some of the great assistant coaches in Iowa history. I mean, Morgan's got to be in the conversation. You got Norm Parker and currently Phil Parker, I think, are right up there. But back to Hayden Fry's era, Bill Brazier, Bill Snyder, Carl Jackson, Barry Alvarez before he went to Wisconsin, and Dan McCarney before he left the program.
46-23 throws out Ron Aiken.
Excuse me?
Maybe I'm misunderstanding that. Keep going.
Okay. But it's Rhys ranks right up there. There's no question about it. And I go back to continuity. When you have a guy on your staff for 19 seasons, you don't necessarily take him for granted, but there's always an ear to, you know, hear, you know, bounce something off somebody. And that's what Hayden Fry had for many years. He had a continuity in his staff, and then it kind of broke apart when Alvarez went to Wisconsin, McCarney left, and I think Carl Jackson left for a brief period of time for the NFL. But continuity means a lot in college football. Again, 319-366-1600. If you'd like to weigh in, did you have any interaction with Rhys Morgan, be it as a opposing football coach? You played against his teams. You were recruited by him. Feel free to weigh in as we lead up to Mark Ironside's appearance on the Gym Class. And we'll see what Rhys Morgan has to say. No indication that, excuse me, that it's anything else than Rhys Morgan, 68 years old. He's put in his time and wants to step aside for right now. And you got to honor that. So Rhys, again, meeting the media at 3:30. I want to bring in Joel from Muscatine. Joel wants to weigh in on Rhys Morgan. Hi, Joel.
Joel, you with us? It appears we lost Joel there. All right, go ahead and call us back.
Yeah, give us a call back, Joel. I'm sure you've got some interesting insight on Rhys Morgan. Thanks to Cajun Troy on the text line. We're happy to have you back from Mardi Gras. If only we could hear the real stories from that soiree. Thanks, Cajun Troy. Again, coming up, wrestling conversation with Mark Ironside, college hoops talk, the craziness that is college basketball, and a bowling night in America preview, such as it is, week 25 of 32, coming up a little later in the program. Rhys Morgan, and I keep looking at his resume, and it's flabbergasting. I don't mean to overstate this, but I don't think you can. What he's meant to the Iowa program and what a hole he may leave, I don't know. Kirk Ferentz, I'm sure, will make the right decision and make a good hire. But I don't know if it was expected, but it kind of came out of the blue to me.
Yeah, and I, you know, I'm not behind the scenes. I don't know a whole lot, but I just... This feels very sudden to me as well. He's been around for so long. I think he's such a respected member of the coaching staff and so well known around the state. I think if they had an inkling ahead of time, I think they maybe, I don't know, they could have treated this however they want, but it does feel quite sudden to me.
Again, coming up tonight, Iowa State at West Virginia men's basketball, the next to last game for the Cyclones in the regular season. Maybe not a must-win, but it's surely one that Iowa State should and needs to get tonight. 5:30 on the pregame on 1600 AM. And, I mean, the potential conference championship contenders You think Iowa is crazy, and it's been a roller coaster season, and it's perplexing. Of course it has been. But we're going to get into why that's the case with other programs as well. Joel Muscatine back with us. How are you, Joel?
Hey, good, guys. How are you?
Very good.
So the Reese Morgan thing, it was not uncommon for him to spend a lot of time with young coaches at the Iowa Football Coaches Clinic. I was one of those coaches. He spent an hour with me when I was 24 talking about just coaching, not football, not drills, not anything, but how to work with young people, how to work with their families, how to be a member of the community. That was what was important to him. He happens to be one of the greatest technicians ever to coach the sport. But what made him, you know, such an excellent coach is how he handled people. I mean, Mark, you covered Iowa City West when they were, you know, a Muscatine level program. You know, Muscatine had losing season after losing season. Iowa City West was in a similar situation historically. And by the time I was in high school, he was winning state championships every year. So it's crazy how he turned those programs around. You know, Benton community, he had a profound impact there. The thing is he was a man that the minute you came in contact with him, you felt like you mattered. And it wasn't because he was great at selling you stuff. You really did matter to him. And you do. I mean, he's not dead. He's just retiring. But he's just a great man, and I'm excited that I was able to say that I knew him and learned a little bit from him, even though I can't imagine playing for him. But it's a big loss to the Iowa football program, but I don't think it was one that was unexpected. And I think it's going to be a good opportunity to go out and get another recruiting coordinator, because I think Kelvin Bell is the D-line coach. The question is if they go young and energetic like Kelvin Bell and, you know, in a territory that they want to go recruit, or do you go get somebody who is like a Reese Morgan, you know, in their 50s, and you go get Tom Wilson from West Des Moines Dowling, who's got collegiate experience at Ball State. Might not be a bad hire if you want to lock down the state borders.
Well said, Joel. Great perspective. Appreciate it. Let's go back to the phone lines. Rick in Cedar Rapids wants to weigh in. Afternoon, Rick.
Hi, how are you doing, guys?
Very good, very good.
That's good. I grew up in Iowa City, and, you know, for the longest time, City High dominated the rivalry between West High and City High in football. And, you know, you go back to the long history that Larry Brown had of success and Dan Sabers,
mm-hmm.
and then you all of a sudden, and West really was atrocious. They weren't competitive at all, and this guy came in and turned them around, and as you said, three state championships. Nobody, I'm sure, from the west side of town had any inkling of what was ahead when he came in and became their coach.
Yeah, well put. You know, Iowa City West wasn't very good for a long period of time before Reese Morgan got there. And in the early to mid and later in the 2000s, he strung together three state titles. Rick, thanks so much. Appreciate it. All right. Perhaps more Reese Morgan talk later in the show, but we want to take a break and try to drag Mark Ironside into the studio after this.
If we build it, they will come.
You don't always notice the things that need to be remodeled or repaired at your business, but your customers do. Keep everything welcoming and looking sharp with Jackson Remodeling and Repair. Whatever your business needs, design, remodeling, repair, they'll take care of it. The owners at Jackson Remodeling and Repair personally visit each job site to make sure things are staying on schedule and meeting your expectations.
Go the distance.
Call them for a quote. Jackson Remodeling and Repair, 319-214-6943.
We were naive about all things money.
And we maybe put money into places and paid things that we thought were the most important thing, but maybe necessarily big picture weren't always the biggest and best thing to do.
We were just so tired of renting, and, you know, we rented at several places. We felt like it was time, we needed help. And so we talked to Joe at DuPaco. That opened the door to us doing a money makeover. It put everything in black and white right before us. We were getting close. We knew we had the right amount of income. We knew that our credit scores had skyrocketed. We just need to find that right home.
Did the application through Tapaco. Joe was able to get us pre-approved, I think, as we were sitting in her office.
We came into the house for the first time. It was awesome. We're so thankful that we had the tools that Tapaco gave us.
Learn the whole story at tapaco.com/impactful. Equal housing opportunity.
Cedar Rapids, Iowa City, HelpWanted.com presents the world's worst boss, the one who posts jobs on huge national job sites, looking for anyone with a pulse. We'll just call him Dave.
Alexis, I've reviewed your resume online, and I think you're very professional, punctual, a fantastic listener, and I believe you'd be a great fit at our company.
Dave, we've talked about this. I will not be your employee. I'm your therapist.
Is this reverse psychology?
No, Dave.
Does that mean yes?
We're out of time, Dave.
Don't be a Dave. Find your perfect local employee at Cedar Rapids, Iowa City, HelpWanted.com. Local jobs that work.
You guys want to do it?
Ryan Peck drives to rural towns every week, bringing music to kids who need it most.
From the top, ready?
He dreams of showing people the importance of music in a child's life. American Family Insurance is helping make that happen right now.
Keep on sunny side, always on the sunny side. Keep
American Family Insurance. Insure carefully, dream fearlessly.
See Kurt Gustafson at Kurt Gustafson Agency, your American Star Certified Agency. Excellence in customer experience.
American Family Mutual Insurance Company, SI and its operating company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin, 53783.
Yeah, we'll take you down tonight. You ready?
Side may not be ready for a fight, but he's ready to bring it here on the Gym Class. Mark Dukes and Kyle Mann with you today, and pleasure to welcome in Mark Ironside, his weekly appearance here, brought to you by Kurt Gustafson, Agency of Family, American Family Insurance. You had nothing to do last weekend, at least professionally, did you?
No, not last weekend.
It was kind of nice, huh?
It was really, really nice. Actually went down and I was able to watch one of my daughters playing in a volleyball tournament all day. Took another one to a hitting lesson, went and seen my grandma, which I got to see my grandma today too. So nice. I've been making time for the family and had an awesome lunch with Grandma Mary today. And it's nice to have a little bit of downtime. You're always running and bustling and running all over. And it's nice to relax a little bit and refresh the battery.
Not so much this weekend as the Big Ten Championships are going to be contested in Minneapolis. That coming up on Saturday and Sunday. Saturday sessions at 10 and 6. Sunday at noon and 3. You've seen the pre-seeds, Mark. Anything stick out to you?
Nothing too extraordinary other than the fact that we're just going to have to show up and wrestle. I mean, bottom line, if you go off of the pre-seeds and the automatic qualifiers, we should take 8 out of 10 guys, but obviously that can totally change. We could take all 10, or we might only get 6 through. It's just, and that goes for every team as well too. That's why you wrestle them. It's just like rankings and so forth or whatever. But we got a lot of wrestling to do. We're gonna have to show up and go in there with a kind of a new outlook. It's a new season. It's the postseason. It's an exciting time of year. Just listen to that, Take You Down song, the walkout music or whatever. It's exciting. It really, really is. And it's so fun. And just thinking about heading up to Minneapolis, I love wrestling and competing in Williams Arena up on the elevated stage. And hopefully the Hawkeyes come out after that thumping from Oklahoma State. They come out and they're ready to prove, what they are as a team. And then even take it to a whole nother level we can have later out in Pittsburgh. But it's do or die now. I mean, it basically is. And not only trying to survive and make it to the national championships and become a qualifier, but setting yourself up as best opportunity as you can to get as high of a seed there as you can as well, too. So, there's some guys that, they're pretty much shoo-ins. The guys that I think that are kind of on the bubble that are going to really have to work hard and get in is a guy like 141 Max Mirren. I mean, they're taking 9 there, and he's the number 7 seed. So even though he's the 7 seed, he's going to have to scrap. He's going to have to get after it and really wrestle wrestle well to make sure he gets in there and finishes as high as he can. And then going on down 174, they're taking 8 qualifiers from 174. Mitch Bowman's the 10th seed. Just because he's the 10th seed, he is fully capable of being, you know, 6, 7, 8 easily. So it doesn't really matter. He's just going to have to really work hard coming through those wrestlebacks. And I think that's where I really believe he will too. I'd be surprised if he did not qualify. 197, Jacob Warner, he's the number 3 seed, but at that weight, they're only taking 5. And with Warner kind of being hot and cold and having a hard time getting to his offense, anything could happen there. And he's going to have to be ready to go. There's no doubt about it. It's not a very deep weight class, which is why they're only taking 5. But if you're going to sit around and just try to win every match, you know, by 1 point or 2 points, I mean, at any point in time at this level, things can change in a hurry.
A reminder, we're going to be losing the gym class on 107.5 and 106.3 FM in a matter of just a couple of minutes. If you'd like to continue to listen to the gym class, turn over to 1600 AM, listen to the rest of our interview with Mark Ironside and the rest of the show. Mark, I've looked at all the pre-seeds, and you're not a lot more knowledgeable than I, but I'm looking at the heaviest of weight classes. Sam Stoll, seated 8th, and he was obviously ranked much higher than that throughout the season. He's fully capable. That's a very talented weight class. He's going to have to bring it as well.
He is. It's they're taking 7 qualifiers there. He's the number 8 seed, which at one point in time, for a lot of the year season, he was ranked number 2 in the country. But that Big Ten heavyweight class is just absolutely stacked and loaded. I mean, so stacked and loaded. You're going to see, you know, out of those top 8 guys in the Big Ten, you'd probably see 5 or 6 of them on the award stand at the NCAAs. I mean, the Big Ten is absolutely loaded at one or at heavyweight. Sam Stoll, I mean, it's no secret. He doesn't have the mobility with his knee right now. He's been struggling on the bottom. So I think that he has to realize that it's his senior year. He's got nothing to lose. Just let the fur fly. He has to have more urgency on his feet. In the neutral position, you know, when he starts the match or he chooses neutral or whatever it may be. But that's where he's got to make his hay, is in that neutral position and not just looking for that 2-on-1 that's what he's been so good with, because people are circling out of it. They know it's coming. They're leading the other leg. I mean, they're just staying away from him, and they're hoping to ride him out on top and so forth, and because they know he's struggling right there. So he just mentally, but that goes with anybody, Spencer Lee included. Just the biggest thing is just going into this tournament with maybe a little bit of a chip on your shoulder after that Oklahoma State meet, but being fresh, nothing to lose, and just letting it go. Just let it go. There's nothing that anybody here has to protect. Okay, I mean, we don't have any returning Big Ten champions. Okay. We don't have no returning national champions except for Spencer Lee, but he's already been beat twice this year, you know. So, I mean, just let it go and go out. And that's what's fun about this time of year. It doesn't matter what's happened up to this point. You know, it doesn't matter what your rank is. It doesn't matter what your record is. It doesn't matter what your seed is. This tournament right here, this is what counts going into the Nationals. And that's what's refreshing to everybody. Every time when that first whistle blows on Saturday morning at 10 o'clock, it's like a brand new season.
Every round is important, you know that. How important is the first round?
Well, for a lot of guys, it's extremely important. You know, some of those guys, they basically win the first round, and they automatically qualify already. But some of them, if they lose that first round, they're going to have to win 2 matches or so to come back and to qualify. And then it's really a do-or-die situation. And they're not going to get – I don't see anybody from Iowa getting any I don't know what they call them, like, well, not wild cards anymore, but basically like a wild card after the fact. I don't see it happening. So if they're going to do it and they're going to set themselves up right, they have to do it, you know, in the tournament and qualifying, you know, in the top percentage, wherever they're supposed to qualify. So it'll be interesting. It's going to be a lot of fun. I know that the store's been just bombarded this week with people coming in and buying stuff and getting ready for the Big Tens. And there's a lot of excitement. People, you know, it's nice to be able to go out. Minnesota's not too far away. A lot of people are going there because they can't go to Pittsburgh or don't want to go to Pittsburgh. So Williams Arena is going to be rocking. It's going to be a jam-packed house. I know that they're having a what do you call it, the night before the Iowa, like a thing that Friday night, like a
rally or something,
rally
yeah.
of some sort, mm-hmm. like they do for football and basketball and that type of stuff. They're doing that Friday night. I mean, it's going to be, there's going to be a lot of Hawkeye fans spread out throughout the whole arena because, of course, they didn't give us but a sliver of Iowa section tickets, but there's going to be a lot of Iowa Hawkeye fans spread out throughout the entire arena, and it'll be a lot of fun to be up there and see this event. And Big Tens, honestly, I enjoy going to the Big Tens more so than I do the Nationals every year. I really do. It's just you get right after it. There's never a time where you look out on the mat, and I mean, there's always someone that's really good wrestling or a really good matchup, and when it's a situation where you're qualifying for the Nationals, typically everybody's letting it go, and they know this is their shot, and it's really, really good wrestling to watch. I know that there's a lot of first timers going to up here. It's the first time watching a Big Ten tournament, so it'll be really fun. I'm excited for those type of people. You know, I've been around a long time, seen a lot of these tournaments and so forth, and been in it myself. And but I enjoy and get a kick out of people that take their sons and are going and taking their sons for the first time, and to be able to see something like this, and not just to be able to watch the Iowa Hawkeyes, but, you know, watch Penn State's guys, watch Ohio State's guys, Michigan and whoever, you know. It's just an awesome atmosphere, and it's an awesome tournament to see.
I want to ask you about 165. You got a few guys, really quality guys at the top. Marinelli seated second despite being undefeated, but it's hard to deny Vincenzo Joseph, defending national champ, was he not? Is he not?
He's the defending national champion. He's not the defending Big Ten champion. He got beat by Imar last year in the finals, and then he beat Imar at the Nationals last year. But what's unfortunate is Penn State knew what they were doing. When Wick went to Penn State, Wisconsin went to Penn State, Penn State's Joseph, they did not wrestle Joseph against Wick, knowing that, you know, that would basically secure his number one seed for the Big Ten championships. That puts Alex Marinelli and Wick on the same side, Evan Wick on the same side. So they're going to have to wrestle each other for the third time this year, and Joseph hasn't had to wrestle either one of them one single time.
Yeah.
To me, that's BS. It's chicken, you know what, and chicken poop. But that's what unfortunately, at all levels, not just college, high school as well, and you're starting to see it happen over and over and over, because they're doing everything they can for their guy to give their guy the best chance that he can to perform the best at the Big Tens or come out of the best, to give their guy the best chance to win when it really counts at the end. And I just don't like it, because I think it hurts the sport. It hurts that dual meet. For me, one, I'm tuned in to watch that meet for Penn State and Wisconsin. I want to see this matchup, and Joseph doesn't even come out. You know, it's unfortunate. That's not the wrestling mentality, you know, and that's what bothers me, you know. Let other sports do that type of stuff or whatever, but you shouldn't ever, you know, dodge someone or whatever just because you want to save a seat or this or that or whatever. And it just, but, you know, so anyway, it's going to be hard for Alex Marinelli to, it's hard to beat a guy like Evan Wick three times in a row after he'd been beat by him twice last year. But if there's anybody up for the task, it's Alex Marinelli. That guy, out of the 10 guys that we have on the team right now, that guy is probably the best trained, the best mentally focused and prepared out of anybody on the team.
Right now, a couple seconds here, we're going to be going to Scott Unas's call at the Boise State Basketball Tournament on our FMs, 107.5 and 106.3 FM. That's Al Burnett and Remsen St. Mary's. If you'd like to tune into that game, you can probably hear it now if you're on the FMs. Gym class continuing on 1600 AM. Mark, you mentioned earlier about chips on shoulders, and I'm sure every wrestler can point to that, but I like it. You know, Lee and DeSanto right off the bat, those two guys might have significant chips on their shoulder.
Yeah, I sure hope so. You know, I mean, you got to look at it two ways. You can talk to the press. You can say whatever you want. The past is in the past. You know, it is what it is. This is a new tournament, and it is, okay? But at the same time, that has to be a motivating factor for you coming off of losses like that they had in an arena, like, you know, hostile environment like it was. It's got to be motivating, leading you into, you know, a situation like this. It's going to help you train, you know, from that meet to the Big Tens. It's something that you're thinking about and just making you hungry for that next competition, and that just happens to be the Big Tens. I'm hoping that, you know, after that poor performance at Oklahoma State that these guys are unbelievably eager and anxious and excited and seriously cannot hardly sleep at night. They're so ready to get onto the mat come Saturday at 10 a.m. That's hopefully how I'm looking at it. And they come out, and it's just a ball fury. And we come out, and Spencer sets the tone right away. DeSanto follows suit. And then Mirren's like, heck yeah, boys, let's go. And he's on it. And then, you know, Lugo takes advantage. I mean, and it's just a snowball in the right direction. And everybody follows suit. And that's what a lot of wrestling is. I think that's what happened against us at Oklahoma State. When Spencer Lee got pinned, it's like I think the rest of the team was like, oh my gosh, and the crowd just erupted like that. And then that thing is, it brought the Oklahoma State team, it brought them off their benches. They were excited. Fix couldn't wait to get out on the mat against DeSanto, and then Fix beats DeSanto, and then I think it just kind of took the wind out of our sails and really lifted those guys up. And a lot of wrestling, you know, I like to say that, you know, it's an individual sport, but it's a team sport. And it's just kind of where you're at, depending, you know, mentality-wise. But so much of the team aspect of things rides on how the rest of the team's
doing.
There's
momentum, yeah.
There is, and it plays a role. But at the same time, if you're a guy like Alex Marinelli right now, it doesn't matter what's happened up to that point. It does not matter. If everybody's doing great, he's right there with you. Let's keep this thing going. I'm going to even take it a notch higher. If everybody loses up to him, and it's his opportunity to turn the ship around and get things going in the right direction, that's a huge motivator for him. He's excited to have that opportunity to be able to do that. So what I'm saying is it shouldn't really matter. No matter what the circumstances are, what's happened previously before you step out foot on the mat, or what the team score is, or where, you know, the team mentality is, you're an individual. You take things into your own matters in your own hands. You do what's best for you, and then that will bring up the rest of the team.
3:40 on the Gym Class today. Mark Dukes and Kyle Mann with you. Joined by Mark Ironside, his weekly appearance brought to you by Kirk Gustafson, Agency of American Family Insurance. I understand you as an Iowa Hawkeye and as a former wrestler, you're not going to concede anything, but most observers would say Penn State is the prohibitive favorite here. How would you handicap the team race from there?
I think Penn State, obviously, right now is a clear-cut favorite, the number one. But 2, 3, and 4 is going to be one heck of a tournament to follow. It's just going to be so fun to watch this team race and see how it unfolds, 2, 3, and 4. Honestly, between Ohio State, Michigan, and Iowa, any of those schools could finish 2, 3, or 4. Ohio State could get fourth, or they could get second. Iowa could get second, or they could get fourth. You know, it's just a matter of how it all shakes out. Bonus points will probably play a major role, which is what Iowa has to do a little bit better job. They haven't really done a great job of throughout the regular season getting bonus points. Specific individuals, yes, obviously like a guy like Alex Marinelli. Spencer Lee hasn't been getting the bonus points that has been getting all year. Pat Lugo, he's left some bonus points out there when he's taken some match, like G-Feller from Okie State. That could have been a major decision for him. Caleb Young, lots of bonus points left out there. Should have gotten lots of major decisions throughout the season. Cash Wilkie could have got more major decisions. Warner could have got major decisions. I mean, there's a lot of opportunities out there where we could have wrestled harder and more and scored more takedowns early on in the match and later on the match to get another extra point for that team. Didn't matter at the time because we won every dual meet beside the Oklahoma State one. So it didn't really matter. It wasn't that big of a deal. But in a situation like this, 2, 3, 4 for team-wise point of view, or possibly even one, every extra point counts, whether it's a half a point, a 1 point, or 2 points. It doesn't matter. Get every bonus point that you possibly can because your team's going to need it. And that's what's going to make the difference, I think, between 2, 3, and 4.
We've been talking about the Big Ten Conference Tournament pre-seeds. Where does it go from here? Will these seeds hold, or what happens?
I think they're pretty much going to hold. I think the only reason they wouldn't hold is if you see someone that may be injured, or someone has to pull out or something like that between here and there. So as long as nothing like that crazy happens, I think the seeds will pretty much go as is, and it'll set the brackets from there. They'll have to draw in some of the other guys and so forth, but the seeds themselves will stand. I know that on Friday they have a coaches meeting to kind of go through all that stuff or whatever, but unless something really drastic happens, like someone wouldn't make weight, someone's sick, doesn't make it, they got injured, didn't make it, they got hurt this week in practice, so that kind of throws things off. That could change stuff, but as long as it's a situation where none of that type of stuff has happened, the seeds will pretty much, everything will stand pretty much where it's at.
Short of getting 10, you'd be comfortable with how many NCAA qualifiers?
10. There is nothing less.
Nothing less?
I'm telling you, there's not. We need to get all 10 in. It'll be a bummer for the Hawks if we don't get 10 guys there, because we are fully, fully capable with the potential that we have on this with this team of getting all 10 guys in. If we only get 9, hey, we'll take as many as we can get, obviously. But if we don't get all 10, it'll be kind of disappointing, because everybody, all 10 guys, are fully capable of qualifying for the Nationals and going to Pittsburgh as a full team.
Who are you going to miss seeing the least from Penn State?
Mark Hall. Or Vincent Joseph. Mark Hall, probably. One, he's boring, and two, he's very arrogant. So I'm not going to miss seeing him wrestle.
Nickel's crazy good.
Well, I thought you meant, like, who am I going to, like, least see, like, miss seeing the least. But the most?
Yeah.
The most, I think Nolf. I love how Nolf just kind of composes himself. He just, the way that he goes out, he's not arrogant. He's not cocky. He's aggressive the entire time. I mean, he's on another level. I mean, the freaking kid is good. He's very composed all the time. Emotionally, he doesn't let, if something goes against him, he doesn't let, he's a competitor. I seen him, he got taken down the other day, and holy smokes, that was the last thing you want to do is take him down, because that really upset him. And he turned things around in a heartbeat, and it really made that guy pay. He showed a little bit of emotion that I've never really seen on him before, a little bit of fire, and it was actually pretty good to see. So I think Jason Nolf, he's the guy out of the entire team that I think that he's probably the most fun to watch, and he never gets tired. Nickel gets tired a little bit. Mm-hmm. He likes to high-flying throws and so forth or whatever. I don't know. I think Nolf is more solid. He's a more solidified wrestler than what Nickel is. And that's not taking anything away from Nickel, because he's obviously doing really dang good and moving up to 197 this year, for crying out loud, too. So a very, very good wrestler.
Last question for you, Mark. This is probably an opportunity, if not this week, then the NCAAs each and every season, to catch up with some of those guys that are have grown from the Dan Gable coaching tree and others. That has to be a lot of fun.
Yeah, it is. It's fun, especially, you know, you get to the Nationals and you see so many different, well, former teammates of mine.
Steiner, Fresno State.
Yeah, you know Steiner, he's out of Fresno State. See him there, out there. You know, you see Jim Zaleski, and, you know, you run into Doug Schwab, and you go on and on. List goes on. I mean, I was in the room just yesterday afternoon. I had some business to do down in Iowa City. He stopped in, and I got a workout in. I run into Terry Steiner. His daughter's here, was at Iowa, and she's on a visit at Iowa, and stopped in the wrestling room, and he coaches the women's freestyle team, obviously. So he stopped in and seen Allie Reagan and the other girls that were in there training and so forth, whatever. So it was, you know, nice to catch up with him a little bit. I hadn't seen him for quite a while and stuff, but it's nice to see stuff like that. You know, even a guy like Tom Ryan, you know, I've always had a good relationship with a guy like Tom Ryan. Even though that, you know, we compete with these schools, it's good to see people on that kind of a level, and, you know, I want to beat them at the same time, yeah, even though I'm only the radio guy. But for sure, you know, I'm 110% an Iowa Hawkeye. But I also still keep in respect that I have for my former teammates and former Iowa guys and the Gable era and the people that were under them and so forth. So it's always nice to see them. And it's not like you sit around and talk forever, reminisce. Yeah. You don't really have time. But it's just nice to see them, shake their hands, see how they're doing, and maybe get a one-minute conversation in or kind of catch up or whatever. So it's a lot of fun. It's fun for me to go to those places and see those things. Williams Arena is very special to me because it's where Big Tens were my junior year, and my grandpa passed away shortly after that. It was the last event. He had cancer, and he was able to make it up to that event, and it was the very last event that he was able to watch me in, and I had a very good showing there. It was great, and then I won the Nationals that year, and just a couple days after the National Tournament, he passed away. But that's just one thing I just remember, like, my entire family. I probably had 30 family members up there watching it, and it was pretty special up there. But I just like the Williams Arena. But it's everywhere you go, you see people, and you remember back in the days, and it makes you remind yourself of kind of where you came from, who you are, and what got you there, and so forth. So it's fun. I like traveling. That's why I like the sport of wrestling and doing what I do, and it's just kind of in your blood, and it's there to stay, and it's just part of you.
Fantastic, Mark. Thanks for all you offer today and every week. And look forward very much next week to hashing over the Big Tens and looking forward to the NCAA tournament.
We're going to have a lot to talk about come next Wednesday, Mark.
I believe it.
You might want to book like a half hour.
Okay. Okay, Mark. Thanks. Right. And we'll see you next week and have fun in Minneapolis.
All right. Thanks, guys.
All right. Let's go to a break. When we come back, we'll have a Bowling Night in America preview and a little college hoops after this.
Every block, every basket, every win. Don't miss a moment of tournament action. Grab your crew and head to Brick Alley Pub and Sports Bar in Uptown Marion. Watch the games on a 180-inch big screen with stadium seating, 20 beers on tap, and drink specials. They have two rooms available for private party rentals, too. Basketball at Brick Alley Pub and Sports Bar on 7th Avenue in Uptown Marion. And weekdays after work, come in for happy hour from 3 to 6. And trivia Wednesday nights at 7.
It's time for some straight talk. Picture this. Your favorite team is playing. You're streaming the game. 10 seconds left. Your team shoots. Oops, your data runs out.
Look, don't let that happen. Switch to Straight Talk Wireless and get 25 gigs of high-speed data, all on America's largest and most dependable 4G LTE networks.
Join Team Straight Talk and get unlimited talk and text plus 25 gigs of high-speed data for just $45 a month.
Straight Talk Wireless, everything for less, only at Walmart.
First 25 gigs at high speed, then 2G. See terms at straighttalk.com.
Ladies and gentlemen, are you ready for the only $5 meal worthy of your appetite? Wendy's Giant Junior Bacon Cheeseburger Meal. Our classic Junior Bacon Cheeseburger is now bigger. With double the fresh, never frozen beef and double the Applewood smoked bacon, there's nothing junior about it except the price. Wendy's Giant Junior Bacon Cheeseburger Meal comes with nuggets, fries, and a drink for just $5. Get the $5 Giant Junior Bacon Cheeseburger Meal at Wendy's. Giant meal, junior price.
At participating Wendy's for a limited time. Fresh beef available in the contiguous U.S., Alaska, and Canada.
My neighbors always ask me, "Hey Pete, how do you keep your yard so nice?"
Pete makes it simple with a Scotts Turf Builder feeding program. It's the best way to get a greener, stronger lawn, guaranteed. All it takes is 4 easy feedings, just once in early spring, late spring, summer, and fall, providing your lawn the nutrition and weed control it needs to stay lush and green.
So, now you know my secret.
This is a Scotts yard. Pick up a Scotts Turf Builder program today.
Let Sport Clips Haircuts upgrade your day. During the month of March, get $5 off the Double MVP experience via text message when you check in online or with the Sport Clips app. That means after your fresh cut, you'll get double the massaging shampoo and legendary hot steam towel. Then we'll give you $5 off. It's a win-win. The Sport Clips app. Download, check in, and cut the wait. Mobile opt-in required to receive discount code. Offer expires 3/31/19. See terms at sportclips.com/thank you.
May City Bowl is always a good time, Dukes.
Even when we're not bowling so great, Scott.
Well, May City Bowl does it right. A full-service pro shop for serious bowlers.
And fun for everyone, like Glow Bowling Friday and Saturday nights.
Our team, the Rusty Nails, is in the adult league, but they have leagues for every age and skill.
And you can call ahead for open lane times.
So whether you're leaguers or just want to have fun, it's always a great time at May City Bowl, off Williams Boulevard, Southwest in Cedar Rapids, the official sponsor of Bowling Night in America on the Gym. Tune in to KGYM Fridays during the Gym Class for the announcement of our Athlete of the Week. Proudly brought to you by Sheet Metal Workers Local 263 of Eastern and Central Iowa.
I like the music selection, Kyle. Thank you very much.
Picked it all out myself.
I know you did. Gym Class back with you for the next 5+ minutes. Mark Dukes and Kyle Mann with you. Scott Unash right now calling Albernette and Remsen St. Mary's in the Class 1A semifinals of the Boys State Basketball Tournament. That on 107.5 and 106.3 FM. Thanks for listening here on 1600 AM. You think Iowa's basketball program is a little perplexing, Kyle? But Last night, Kansas is eliminated from the Big 12 race, losing badly to a lower division Oklahoma team, quite capable one. Oklahoma's saying, where you been all year? And Kansas is, we're not going to win our 15th straight Big 12 title.
All good things come to an end.
And then you got Purdue in the driver's seat in the Big Ten Conference, up one game, going to Minnesota and losing. Now, that game was right down to the wire, granted. And Purdue still has a reasonable chance to share the conference championship. Purdue plays Northwestern, I believe, at Northwestern this weekend. Michigan State and Michigan getting together. So one of those teams is going to share the conference title. But Iowa State trying to avoid a trip up tonight at West Virginia. West Virginia's only won three games in the league, and Iowa State has just been treading water lately. I think it's a huge game for Iowa State.
Yeah, especially as we approach postseason play here. You know, things at one time looked so promising for Iowa State. They were on the up, they're already playing well, and then they were getting healthy. I thought, you know, the sky was the limit for them, but now they've lost three out of four. They really need to finish. I believe they got two games left. They really need to finish strong here with West Virginia, then a tough one against Texas Tech. But it is not going to be easy tonight. Mariel Shayok is out, leading scorer. Not going to be on the floor for the Cyclone. So not going to make things any easier for them. But
Nick Weiler-Babb has been banged up.
Yeah, tough situation for them here at the end of the season.
We will discuss that game with Kevin Lehman tomorrow and preview the Iowa basketball game Thursday night at Wisconsin. Kevin will appear tomorrow on the back half of the show. Dave Koken, who we've missed the last couple weeks because of either breaking news or the state tournament coverage, we'll get reacquainted with Dave Koken tomorrow on the show. And then Friday, we'll visit with Dan Shonka of OurLads.com. And talk about the NFL Combine and the upcoming NFL Draft in April. As you mentioned, as you referenced in the commercial, Bowling Night in America tonight, week 25 of 32. I'm back on in the lineup. UNASH will be in Des Moines. In fact, calling the North Wind game tonight at 8:15. But, yeah. I come back for a week, and what do we get? Durline Scale, the league leader, 10 games out in front, maybe even more by now. I'm not sure, but lanes 25 and 26. We'll give it a go. We'll give it a go. I think when last time we bowled these guys, counted up among the five of them, they had something like 40, 50, 60, 300 games collectively. So that's the type of competition we're up against tonight. We're not going to lay down. We're going to fight to the end, Kyle.
I'm trying to come up with something motivational, but I'm not well-versed enough in bowling.
Talking with Ironside is motivation enough.
No kidding.
Thanks to Mark for his appearance once again today. He'll be back next week to talk about the Big Ten Conference Tournament and the upcoming NCAA action. If you missed it earlier, Iowa City West fell to Dubuque Senior in the 4A quarterfinals of the Boys State Tournament, thus ending Patrick McCaffrey's stellar career. Senior, with a fine player in its own right in Noah Carter, will face Waukee in the semifinals. And appreciate your reaction, both on the text line and the phone line, to the announcement today. Reese Morgan is going to retire from the Iowa football staff. He has been an assistant coach for 19 seasons in Iowa City, most recently manning the defensive line coach position. We'll have more on that on the Todd Brommelkamp show with Alex Kuhn. I believe Reese holding a news conference right now, or it may have wrapped up, not quite sure about that. But quite a loss for the Iowa football program, and we'll follow what transpires from there. Again, thanks to Mark Ironside for his appearance. Looking forward to state tournament coverage later on, and we'll visit with you tomorrow.
It's time for some straight talk. Picture this, your favorite.